Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray to you, whether with many or few. And Lord, may we utilize this time, Lord. It's just such a glorious thing to be able to gather in your name. And so, Lord, we just want to seek you once again this morning and come before your presence, Lord. So guide us in this time now, Lord. Well, good morning, everyone. And let's turn to 2 Chronicles 30. We're back with King Hezekiah once again. We spent quite a bit of time on his prayers in Kings, and now we have him in Chronicles. And King Hezekiah is the 13th king after Solomon. There's a total of 20 kings all total for the kings of Judah after Solomon. And this is about 700 B.C. is when he... is 2 Chronicles chapter 30. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. So this is about 715 B.C. was when he first became king. And we read in Kings that he was a good king. And we saw a few lapses in how his heart was lifted up with pride when he got those 15 extra years. But in Chronicles we have about four chapters given to him, which is more space and Chronicles and any other kings following David and Solomon. David, I think, has about 16 chapters and Solomon about 10. Of course, that has the temple dedication and all that in it. And David's has a lot about preparing for the temple. But we have four chapters here for King Hezekiah in 2 Chronicles. And so I think it's important to look at all these prayers in the Bible, whether they're by good kings or mediocre kings or what, because there's such a great application for us. And in chapter 30, Hezekiah makes a determination rather early in his office to restore worship to the temple. So he has the priest clean the temple out, which had been all filled up with rubbish, and that took a while. And then they had a kind of a sanctification service and so forth, and they did a lot of sacrifices, and the people rejoiced. Every time you see worshiping God, you see joy. You cannot separate the worship of God from joy. So we see them rejoicing. And then we see in verse 1 of chapter 30, he sends to all of Israel, from the south to the north, an invitation to come to Jerusalem and keep the Passover. This is the first Passover now that's been kept for over 200 years. That's how far they turned from the Lord. So they make this proclamation and the people start to show up. Well, they have a little problem with the calendar. First of all, we're supposed to have the Passover on the first month, but they couldn't get it all together in time for that, so they had the Passover on the second month. But as they're going out, I think it's good to see in verse 6, children of Israel return to the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. Then he will return to the remnant of you who have escaped from the hand of the kings of Assyria. Returning to the Lord, I think that's just such an important aspect for all of us. And we may think, well, we're always with the Lord. We don't have to return to him. But yet, how often do we drift away or get a little cold? And, you know, the church in Ephesus, we return our first love. And here we see, return to the Lord. Do not be like your fathers in verse 7. Verse 8, do not be stiff-necked. Of course, we see this term used by Stephen later on in Acts. You and your fathers were always stiff-necked. But he said, don't be stiff-necked. And then in verse 9, if you return to the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. Isn't that awesome? He will not turn his face from you if you return to him. So, again, here's always these promises. If we turn to the Lord, he will turn to us. If we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. But the key is drawing near to him. He's not going to go grab us out of somewhere necessarily and say, you're going to worship me now more than you have been, no matter what, whether you like it or not. No, it has to be a willingly coming to him. So in verse 12, the hand of God was on Judah to give them singleness of heart to obey the command of the king and the leaders at the word of the Lord, and a very great assembly gathered to keep Passover in the second month. Now, here's something very important in verse 14. They arose and took away the altars that were in Jerusalem, and they took away all the incense altars and cast them into the brook of Kidron. Cleansing and preparing is very important, I think, for us to come to the Lord. And whether it is a periodic communion or whatever it is when we want to approach the Lord, we need to cleanse ourselves. We need to cast away all of our spiritual idolatries. And we need to evaluate ourselves to see what is there that's holding us back. And I think that's always good for us to look around in our lives. What in our lives are we spending a lot of time on that really is not bringing us closer to the Lord? And can you get rid of those things? If you can, get them out of your life, because they're just diluting the 24 hours a day that we have. So they slaughtered the Passover. They stood in their place. And then they had a lot that came in for this who weren't purified. They weren't sanctified. They hadn't kept the ritual. The rituals for Passover, as specified in Numbers and Leviticus and Exodus, are that if you touched the dead body, you had to wash yourself and you were contaminated until evening. If you had sex, you were contaminated until evening. There was a number of things that if you did that you weren't purified. And you were not to take, in our case it would be like communion, but in that case the Feast of the Passover, you're not to take that unless you were purified. But here are these people in verse 18, a multitude of people, many from Ephraim, Manasseh, Issachar, and Zebulun had not cleansed themselves, yet they ate the Passover, contrary to what was written. Wow, what's going to happen here? Well, I think we see the mark of a good leader. We see the mark of Hezekiah, the leader, recognizing that he needed to pray for the people, and he does. And here is his prayer. May the good Lord provide atonement or covering for everyone who prepares his heart to seek God. The Lord God of his fathers, though he is not cleansed according to the purification of the sanctuary. Now, you may remember that Moses had a very similar prayer back in Numbers 9 when there were people who had partaken and they hadn't kept the purification. And God at that time says, it's okay, let them take it. And here again, we see the Lord listening to the prayer in verse 20, and the Lord listened to Hezekiah and healed the people. Preparation and cleansing is very important to come to the Lord, but he is so merciful that if you come to him with a prepared heart to seek him, we see here his mercy is that he will let you come, even if you haven't kept the requirements that he's laid out for you to come. That's how merciful he is. And so we are not under the law, we are not under the preparation, so to speak, but in a way we are, aren't we? We need to prepare our heart. We need to prepare our heart and to seek God. That's what the prayer is here. That's the criteria for those who prepare their heart to seek God, the Lord God of his fathers. Then give them atonement, Lord. Give them a covering, in effect like forgiveness. Because the blood always provided atonement for sin, meaning a covering for the sin. It didn't take it away until our Lord and Savior's blood took it away, but it still provided atonement or covering. So the Lord listens to Hezekiah and heals the people. So here again we have an example, proof positive of the Lord hears prayers and he answers prayers. And that's not just the kings of Israel, that's you and I as well, isn't it? The net result now in verse 25, the whole assembly of Judah rejoiced. Rejoiced. Verse 26, there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. 215 years since this had occurred. Then the priests, the Levites, arose and blessed the people, and their voice was heard, and their prayer came up to his holy dwelling place, to heaven. Father, we thank you for this great example of approaching you, this great example of needing to return to you. And Lord, this prayer is on a national basis, but it certainly fits each of us individually as well. Lord, we need to stay close to you. We need to continually return to you. We thank you, as in last week's prayer we had, and Jehoshaphat was delivered safely back to Jerusalem. You will accept us safely as we return to you, no matter what we've done. And Lord, we need to be cleansed and pure and not wasting time on things that are not drawing us closer to you. So we see here that you want us to be preparing our hearts, and you want us to be seeking you. And if we're doing that, then your mercy and your grace overlooks all of the other stuff, it seems like, to a degree at any rate. So, Lord, we thank you for the resultant joy that comes from seeking you, and over and over and over again. Here we see the whole nation rejoicing, and we know individually that is the same thing. So, Lord, help us. We want to be men and women of God. Mm-hmm. Help us to look at a number of things, Lord, really. Help us to look at our prayer life and to see where we are in that. And then, Lord, help us also to see if we are really seeking you with a whole heart, Lord, and we are spending time with you, if we are in your word and in prayer every day, or are we wasting time on movies or television or radio or whatever, Lord? And so, Lord, where is our heart? Where is our heart, Lord? And then do we have the characteristics of humility and joy? Because if much time is spent with you, Lord, those are the byproducts, unmistakably. So, Lord, we thank you for your faithfulness, your grace, and your mercy. And as we have looked here at Hezekiah's prayer, once again, we thank you for what we can learn from the prayers in the Bible. And, Lord, there's over 100 of these prayers in the Bible that we can learn so much from. So thank you for your word. Bless this gathering here this morning as we begin now. And just lead us in this time of prayer to pray for the church, to pray for pastors, to pray for Pastor Chuck, to pray for the ending family camp, to pray for the Monday night situations, to pray for every night, really, and every day for the various ministries here. And, Lord, for us individually, and then, Lord, as we get ready to close today, I want to just spend a few minutes going around the room and have each one of us maybe mention 7 names or so of lost people that are highest on their list of praying for the lost, and that we would hear those names in this little gathering, and we would agree by saying amen after each one, Lord, to come against the strongholds of the evil one and these lost dear ones in our lives, Lord. Many we prayed for years and years, and it may take years more, Lord. But we know that you say that if we ask anything according to your will, that you hear us. And we know you have said you want none to be lost and all to come to repentance. So we know praying for the lost is in accordance with your will. And may we spend a few moments doing that this morning as we near the end of the hour. But in the meantime, Lord, now we want to just open our hearts up to you. We do want to pray in one accord. We are being led and guided by one Spirit, and so therefore our prayers are one. And Lord, may we be agreeing with whoever is praying. And Lord, we are not looking for great eloquency and great long-winded prayers and all of that. Lord, we just want to come from the heart and respond to you as you lead us, Lord. So lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.